So as we all know, many times in life, mothers know best. When I was a sophomore in high school, I took geometry with Mrs. Payne. Now, just as a side note, what a great name for a teacher, Mrs. Payne. Now, I tended to be a chatterbox back then, and Mrs. Payne would lose her patience with me frequently. Now, during one specific occasion, Mrs. Payne had enough. She told me to leave her classroom. In other words, she kicked me out of class. That happened twice in my high school career. Well, that night at home, I was telling a friend of mine about the incident over the phone. What I didn't realize at the time was that my mother could hear my conversation from the other room. When I hung up the phone, she came immediately into the room. She asked me to clarify to her, had I really been kicked out of class? Immediately, I began to tell her how I was not the only one talking, of course, but that I took it for the team by being kicked out, which, you know, in a sense, was all true. Well, my mother, first off, was a teacher, and second off, she knew who she was dealing with, and she never took my side with teachers. She immediately went to the phone, looked up Mrs. Payne's number in the phone directory, which we used still back then, and then she called Mrs. Payne, who, by the way, she didn't know from Eve, and told her that she was so sorry for how her son had acted in her class, that he deserved to be kicked out, and to let her know immediately if ever I acted up again. She then told Mrs. Payne that I would be at her classroom first thing in the morning at 7:30, before the bell rang, to apologize to her for my behavior. Now, as a sophomore in high school, I was furious and embarrassed. Yet there was no choice in the matter. She was in charge. And whether or not I realized it at the time, she knew what was best for me. My obedience and my respect toward her motivated me to do what was right, even when it was difficult. Now, this morning we celebrate the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, or Christ the King. It's the last Sunday of ordinary time, the climax of the liturgical year, before we begin the sacred season of Advent, the time of preparation for Christmas. Today's feast was established by Pope Pius XI in 1925 in order to remind Christians that Christ was to be the king of their hearts amidst the many temptations that the secular culture was advocating. Now, today, as we know all too well, we live in a world very different from 1925, whose values and principles are not only far from the will of Christ, but no matter the intention, far from any ethical or humane way of thinking. As we think about the state of our world today, right, it can be very discouraging. We can almost feel helpless at first. Yet we should not. Though at times it seems, with all the violence and hatred and division in the world, that evil is triumphing, we must remember Christ the King has already defeated sin and the devil in his sacrifice on the cross, and he will come again one day to rid us of all the sadness and pain. And so despite the many setbacks, we should always continue to be true to our Lord, the King of Kings, until he comes again. Yet, we cannot be faithful to him unless he first is the king of our own hearts. For how can the secular world around us recognize that Christ is the king of the universe unless we Christians first live as if he is our king? You could say, right, that we're in church today not so much because we're in search of Christ, but because Christ is in search of our hearts. In other words, Christ desires to be our first love and the source of our happiness. He has put that desire on our hearts to seek after him. As was foreshadowed in the first reading, though the world has many shepherds or leaders, Christ is the one true and good shepherd who is king over angels and humanity, king over our hearts and wills, because it is in him alone through whom we find salvation. God's will, his plan for us, is what will satisfy us in this life. That's how he created us to be. Therefore, his will must come first in our lives, no matter what society proposes as an alternative. In the gospel this morning, we heard how some of the disciples desired to serve Christ, yet their actions with the poor and needy spoke otherwise. For us here, unless Christ is first king of our hearts, we too, like those disciples, will not be motivated to go beyond our comfort zone in living for Christ, even when it's difficult. You see, Christ's kingdom is built on the unconquerable power of God's unconditional love for each one of us. On the cross, he reveals that love by suffering and dying for our salvation, even while we're still sinners. Yet, as we know, all love demands a response. For if our Lord is truly our King, we must be willing to self-sacrifice ourselves for him as well. We must be willing to act differently. We must be willing to do things that are not always easy, but nonetheless right. Why? Because we know that being part of the kingdom of God means following his will for us. For we know that we are created for Christ and that he loves us more than we can understand. And if he is truly king of our hearts, we choose serving him over letting him down by lowering ourselves to lesser things, no matter how inviting they seem. If we live contrary to Christ's commandments through our actions, no matter what we desire, we're ultimately choosing to put lesser things before our relationship with Christ. And how can we put his will first in our lives if we let the secular society teach us what we see as right and wrong? Therefore, we must be always willing to listen to his will over the loud voice of society and fight for our relationship with him, even if it's difficult. Only then will we be able to see him in our neighbor as we ought. Only then will we be able to love others as we ought. Nothing else in this world can satisfy us as he can. Okay, so practically speaking, what does this look like? Well, the normal decisions we make in our everyday lives show us what we actually see as important. They show us what we deem as king in our lives, you could say. Culture and society try to teach us how to live by what we see on TV, what we wear, what we talk about, what we do in our free time. Society has answers for all these things. Yet it should be the opposite. Christ should be the one who teaches us how to live so that we may teach and reach out to society. And if we don't make Christ king in our hearts, something else will be made king in his place. Now, there are so many examples of this, right? I could go on and on. But for the purposes of this morning, perhaps the most constant secret competitor for our hearts over Christ is impurity and immorality. Now, we don't like to acknowledge it, right, or address it because it's understandably difficult. But Hollywood and the culture certainly don't hesitate to teach us their standards. From every direction, it seems, we're being told the lies that sex doesn't have to be meaningful, that it doesn't have to belong in marriage, that as long as you take certain precautions, you're free to use it as you wish. We hear all these things from HBO shows to Netflix shows and movies, and frankly, we're reaping the consequences of that in our society now. Therefore, we must be willing to defend our own dignity and defend our own purity, even though it's certainly unpopular today. Why? Because it's worth it, and it's what Christ desires. Impurity only offers us emptiness and longing for more. And so, practically speaking, when we decide to watch a movie, do we ever check beforehand to see what it is rated and why it's rated that? If it's rated mature because of graphic love scenes, are those scenes really worth seeing? Or are they just an opportunity for us to put images in our minds and have occasions to view women or men as mere objects of lust and not as human persons? If you're a parent, do you let your kids just watch anything and do anything they want? Or do we primarily watch out for their souls? Do we make sure that they know that pornography is wrong and that it destroys relationships? Further, do we dress modestly in public in order to respect our own dignity? Or do we wear certain outfits to draw attention to ourselves? What we watch, what we read, what we joke about, what we wear, it all influences our views, and our views then influence our decisions. If Christ is truly the King of our hearts, then our lives and actions will show that. If we love Christ, we will be obedient to him. Just as I was obedient to my mother because I loved her and respected her authority, so too are we obedient to Christ because we love him and respect him. In our own day, we so often forget the great gift of our faith in our Lord, and we are still called to fight sin and slavery that is in our everyday lives so that Christ may be the King of our hearts and souls. Christ knows what is best for us. He wants to be the King of our hearts. And it's not always going to be initially easy, but if we follow him and live for him, it will set us free, for we were made to live for him. By putting Christ first in our lives as the King of our hearts, our lives take on a new meaning because we discover our true meaning. Things that seemed so important at one time in our life are nothing in comparison to the love and fulfillment that we find in Christ. And so we must ask ourselves, who or what is the King of our hearts?